This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. By Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing in Litchfield. DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. By the Huff & Sons Funeral Home in Hillsboro. By CTI Tech. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and welcome to Sports Saturday. And, well, winter is almost officially over. By the time we're on this program next week, spring will officially have arrived. And
but it might not feel like it.
It might not feel like it. It has been this spring or winter, month of March, let's just put it that way, has been athletic directors' worst nightmares. David, when you kind of when you scroll through the Twitter or check your email feed, canceled, canceled, rescheduled, postponed, pushback start time, like it's just every single day, baseball and softball games getting all messed up from the original schedule. And that's why Terry made the decision a number of years ago from our broadcast perspective, we're not even going to think about broadcasting a baseball or softball game until the calendar turns to April, because the month of March is historically unreliable. And this March has been worse than the last several, it seems, because it's just, I mean, it's cold. Wind. Did you see some of those scores from the other day, that Thursday, when we had like 50-mile-an-hour winds?
I was
like,
surprised they played.
Well, it was like 26-14, 18-12. Like, so the wind was blowing
yes.
out.
Yes. were those like the 60-mile-an-hour wind days?
Yes.
Yeah. I saw this on the internet. Sometimes the internet has some great memes. It's a terrible thing sometimes. Sometimes it produces a nugget of joy. And it said, "Here, we'll go ahead and give you 60 degrees, but we'll also throw in 150 mile an hour wind."
That's right. Yeah, you wanted 60, you got it.
There you go.
And, I mean, think about like baseball, softball. Think about playing a soccer game.
Oh yeah.
And wind like that.
Trying to run.
Oh gosh.
It'd be awful.
Yeah, there's nothing good about it. So. Hopefully the games today, you know, we've had some games that have been changed with the venues for today. I know the Lincolnwood Staunton game for softball is now at Lincolnwood. That game originally supposed to be in Staunton. That'll be 11 o'clock this morning start. And then the Pawnee-Williamsville baseball game has gotten moved from Pawnee to Williamsville, and the first pitch pushed back to about 1 o'clock today. So a lot of doubleheaders on the docket, and I don't think there's actually any rain in the forecast for today. The problem is, it's just so wet. I mean, it is just extremely wet. We got just a few tenths of an inch of rain the other day, and when you walked outside, you would have thought we got inches.
Yeah.
There's nowhere for it to go right now.
No, that's exactly right. There's really no rain in the forecast until Tuesday night. So we've got a few days here that might be dry. Unfortunately, not a lot of baseball games scheduled across the next few days.
No. And, you know, when we're this wet, like a rain on Tuesday, that's going to push us right back to where we've been. We need a good run of rain-free days.
And it's not going to be that warm necessarily either over the next few days. It's the high is going to be 51 on Tuesday, but that's the highest it's going to be in the next few days. And like I said, rain likely Tuesday night.
When Southwestern played North Mac, I guess it was earlier this week, hadn't been on the baseball field at all. First time on the field this year was for a game. And I think that's probably been the case for a lot of the teams around the area this spring. And, you know, we've had, I know the soccer tournament at St. Teresa, they had to move it to Murrah Forsyth because they got the turf.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, that, you know, the turf has come in handy this spring. And that I had not realized this the last few years, but there's a Metro East Kickoff Classic baseball tournament, 47 teams from around the state, big schools. A lot of big schools, a few small schools mixed in there, but this thing is premier, and they play at GCS, they play at Edwardsville, I think they got games at CM and Alton, you know, just kind of to spread around it, wrap up today. But they've had some issues where they've had to change a lot of venues.
Really?
I mean, they've played more games in that tournament than a lot of the regular games got played.
They're still playing at GCS?
Nope.
I was going to say, because that's all carpet.
Yeah, they haven't had any issues at GCS. They actually had to move some games that weren't originally supposed to be at GCS to the park in Sauget there. No word if they're selling the Luther.
Yeah. Well, how could they not?
How could they not?
It's a staple.
I know. But I think they only sell that at Grizzlies games.
Do they? Well, maybe they
do. I've been back in the day, you know, we used to have area teams that would go to GCS on a, you know, pretty annual basis, and they never sold it.
Yeah.
And I was always disappointed. I was like a kid on Christmas morning with no presents.
Yeah, I've never had the Luther. I know what it is. I've just never had it.
It's surprisingly good.
Is it?
You get the – here, we're going to turn into the food channel. But you get the mix of the salt and the sweet with the donut and the burger and the bacon.
I just wonder how the glaze of the donut – because I assume it's a glazed donut.
Oh, it's glazed. It plays nicely.
Does it?
It's just the – and I have a very unrefined palate.
Do you put condiments on it? Like, does it still have the ketchup and mustard on it? Or mayonnaise?
Mine did not. Okay. I guess you could probably put it on there if you want.
You could, but you really might be messing with
it. You might be playing with fire there if you do something like that. But, yeah, that's the famous thing at the Grizzlies games is the – if you don't know what it is, it's a bacon cheeseburger, but instead of bread buns, it's a donut.
Yeah.
Cut in half.
Glazed donut.
Delicious.
I'll have to try it next time I go down there. I don't know when that'll be, though. Like I said, but the field there, when I say it's all carpet, it is all carpet. The dirt is all turf.
Well, I guess I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's all turf.
So they got the turf that looks like dirt.
It's just brown.
It's brown.
Yeah, but it's dirt. Huh. Or it's turf.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. Makes for a very fast infield.
You better believe it. But it comes in handy in a year like this.
Yeah.
There were some games played yesterday on the baseball diamond. Gillespie beat Morrisonville in 8 innings, 6-5. Joby Carter had the walk-off single for the Miners. Greenville hung the snowman on Payne in the first inning, and they won it 13-3. Not many softball games went on yesterday. Vandalia over Altamont, 11-10. Carrollton topped Brussels, 9-5. And, again, it's just been tough sledding for the baseball and softball, and hopefully it can pick up and get a little bit better here as the month of March moves along and the calendar eventually flips over to April. Do want to mention volleyball action from the 8th grade state tournament last night. Of course, the Lincolnwood 7th graders and Staunton 7th graders both made it to state, and Lincolnwood finished 4th. Staunton lost on the first day at the state tournament. 8th grade, flip it. Staunton wins their first game over Downs Tri-Valley, so they will play in the semifinal this morning at 11 o'clock against Quincy St. Peter. Lincolnwood lost the first game yesterday to Mount Pulaski, so the ninth season comes to an end at 17-3. And consistently at the high school level, Staunton and Lincolnwood have very solid programs here for a good number of years in a row, and they have more junior high talent coming up through the ranks. So good luck to the Terriers today as they will play Quincy St. Peter. That game is at Tolono Unity, if you want to head over. Semifinal at 11. If Staunton wins, they play in the title game at 3:15. If they lose, they will play for third place at 2 o'clock. Roxana also playing in the 8th grade volleyball state tournament today. They are over at Mount Zion High School. They will face Normal Kingsley at 12:15 this afternoon in a semifinal. Both teams are undefeated. The Shells 24-0 and Kingsley is 27-0. Today we'll wrap up the high school basketball season. The 3A and 4A state tournaments will have their championship games today, and there is a potential for the Southwestern Conference to bring home 2 state championships. East St. Louis will play Chicago Bogan for the 3A title, and Belleville West will square off against Evanston Township for the 4A title. For Belleville West, they are looking to become the first Metro East area school to win the big school championship in consecutive years. They'll be the first team to do it since East St. Louis Lincoln back in the 80s when they had LaFonso Ellis. And for East St. Louis, it's their first appearance in the state championship game, but that can be a little bit deceiving because you have to remember, East St. Louis Lincoln was always the basketball school back in the day. The football school was East St. Louis High, but Lincoln folded in the late 90s. Darius Miles played his last 2 years for East St. Louis High before, of course, going on straight into the NBA draft. So while East St. Louis has never played for a basketball state championship, you just have to remember that Lincoln has. And, you know, that
there is still talent down in East St. Louis. It just was not at senior high.
It was for the basketball.
For the basketball, yes.
For the basketball. It was weird how it was. That's just how it worked out, where if you're a football player, East St. Louis High. Basketball player, East St. Louis Lincoln.
Now they've combined and they're good all around.
They're good all around. Yes, they are. So it would be quite the phenomenal feat if one conference could wind up with two state champions. I'm sure it's happened,
but that's very rare. Did their football team win the title this year? They did not.
Not
right?
This year. It was a couple years ago.
Okay.
When they were part of that 89 Blocks documentary, which was fascinating.
I still haven't seen that.
Ooh, fascinating. It followed them all the way through that state championship run.
Yeah.
And that's worth checking out. 89 Blocks is the name of it.
It's LeBron James produced, I believe.
I think it was. Yeah. He did not make a cameo.
Well, no. Just paid for it.
Just right. Space Jam 2 coming out.
Yeah. I don't like it. I love Space Jam. I don't see the need for Space Jam 2.
Well, of course there's no need for Space Jam 2, but they're out of ideas. Everything's a remake or a sequel now.
I know.
That's how it goes.
Granted, Space Jam is no marvel in filmmaking, no like historic iconic film.
Well, didn't win any Oscars.
Right. But
good movie though.
A fantastic movie. I love it. My kids are loving it too now. But you kind of wrapped everything up with the first. What do you need to come back for? What's the plot going to be?
I haven't seen any of the details. I don't know if it's going to be just kind of a straight remake, like the same story, or if it's going to have, I'm sure it'll have a little bit of a different twist on it. Of course, you know, the theme to that was Michael was playing baseball.
Right. Because he had retired for the first time.
He had retired. Right. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
Space Jam 2.
Yeah, how the Monstar is going to overlook trying to get LeBron's talent.
It could be a problem. Didn't see that coming.
He was sick that day. Or maybe that was the day he was out with a groin strain.
Right. And the one thing we know for sure is R. Kelly will not do the soundtrack.
No. Probably not.
That will not happen.
Probably not.
That we know for certain. Everything else.
But man, that was a good soundtrack though.
It was a good song.
The whole soundtrack for that. The Fly Like an Eagle and I Believe I Can Fly. And
iconic stuff.
Yeah.
Iconic stuff.
Mid-90s music.
Hey, we need to get to a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the state basketball tournament. Titles on the line for Belleville West and East St. Louis when Sports Saturday returns.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Coach David Jenkins, final day of the high school basketball season coming up. The 3A championship, East St. Louis against Chicago Bogan. The 4A championship, Belleville West, looking to defend their title against Evanston Township. Now, going back to earlier in the week, the 3A Super Sectional at Springfield had Southeast against East St. Louis. Of course, Southeast has been, they were ranked, I think, third basically all year long coming off that state runner-up finish a year ago. And they played a heck of a game with East St. Louis. But it ended in controversial fashion as East St. Louis was up 3 points with 1.9 seconds to play, shooting the second of two free throws after a timeout. And after the timeout, East St. Louis broke the huddle with six players. And somehow, no one caught it. Nobody saw that East St. Louis had six players on the courts. The second free throw is made. They're up four with 1.9 seconds to play. Southeast inbounds the ball with six flyers on the floor. Their desperation shot doesn't go down. Not that it would have mattered because they were down 4 points. But people in the Springfield area were hot, hot. And understandably so, as had the six players been spotted, it would have been obviously a technical foul, two free throws, and the ball at midcourt. So, and this is always dangerous to extrapolate sports out like this. But if Southeast made both free throws, which there's no guarantee they would have, and if Southeast would have then hit a desperation three, they would have won, or they could have tied the game and forced overtime, in which case they would have had all the momentum in the extra session. So, you know, people tend to focus on that. Oh, the refs cost Southeast the game. Not so fast. Not so fast. The call was bad, or the non-call in this case is bad. How three officials don't see six players on the floor, don't know. Beyond me. They blew it. They missed the call. There's no question about it.
Thought I was doing the show with Lee Corso for a second. Not so fast.
I don't have one of those big hats I can put on. But you must remember, this game was tied. Southeast had the ball with 30 seconds to go. They're holding for the final shot. They turned the ball over. East St. Louis gets a run out, gets a layup. So the Flyers up to 10 seconds, clock running. Southeast inbounds the ball, races back down the floor, turns it over again with a travel. And then from that point, that's where the controversy ensued with the six players on the floor. And, you know, Terry Tote and I talk about this all the time when fans or whoever want to get on officials. The official cost us the game. How many turnovers did you have? How many free throws did you miss? And in this case, while everybody is focusing on the 6 men on the floor, and now that decided the game. No. What decided the game were the two turnovers by Southeast in the final seconds of the game. That is what cost Southeast the game, not the official's non-call at the end. Was it missed? Absolutely. Should it have been called? No question it should have been called. But it wasn't a one-possession game. It was a four-point game at that point in time. But the turnovers are what cost Southeast the game. If they take care of the ball in the final 30 seconds in a tie game and take care of business, they're going to state. And none of that ever happens. But they turned it over twice in the final seconds of that ball game. And that ultimately is what cost Southeast the ball game. Now, how you want to have a debate about how the officials don't see it? That is a discussion that must be had. It's a discussion absolutely worthy of having, because you can't miss that. You cannot miss six players on the floor in that situation. Forget the super sectional. You can't miss it in a Thanksgiving tournament, a holiday tournament, a regular season game. If there's six players in the court, one of the three officials has to see that.
Isn't there, like, aren't you counting that off before you hand the ball to the guy throwing it in?
You're supposed to.
That's what I thought. That's one of the first things you do, right?
Yes. At the Carnival Holiday Tournament this year in the championship game, Calhoun-Hillsborough, Calhoun got whistled for a technical foul. Six players on the floor coming out of a timeout. Because to your point exactly, David, the officials count, make sure the number of players on the floor equals five, not six. Now, who knows what happened? You know, there was nothing, you know, you see some people, well, the refs did it on purpose. No, they didn't. They missed it.
There's always a mass conspiracy against the players.
Oh, well, I had to laugh. I was looking online. East St. Louis gets all the calls. Okay. People saying that are not familiar with the history of East St. Louis.
Yeah.
East St. Louis does not get all the calls. If anything, more times than not, East St. Louis gets the business end of the calls down here. You know, because I grew up, you know, in Bunker Hill, Metro East. Like, I'm a lot more familiar with that area growing up as a kid than, you know, the Springfield area. I remember going to East St. Louis Alton games, East St. Louis Edwardsville games, Edwardsville Alton. Like, when I wanted to see big school basketball, that's where I went. And it was always high level. I remember watching Darius Miles play in high school. It was good stuff. East St. Louis does not get the calls. You know, as a general rule, people don't like East St. Louis.
No.
Like, they, no. You know, they just don't. So to insinuate, well, East St. Louis always gets the calls, it's just wrong.
It is.
It's just factually incorrect, and not. It's actually so wrong. It made me laugh out loud. Like, that's just not. That's being uninformed and not knowing the situation of which you speak. Like, Tuesday night, they got a break.
Yeah.
There's no question they got a break. Six guys on the floor, it shouldn't have happened. And then there was speculation that the sixth guy on the floor was the kid who got ejected, because there was a bunch of technicals and one of East St. Louis players got ejected. And so I inquired to one of our area officials earlier in the week, and I said, if that was the case, is that an extra technical foul? In which case it would have been four free throws and the ball at midcourt. And the official told me that, yes, it probably would have been a bench decorum technical foul.
Bench decorum.
Bench decorum, because when a player is ejected, they have to leave. They have to leave the floor.
Okay. Okay.
So that's where that would have come in. But then I saw someone who was sitting right behind the East St. Louis bench physically saw the kid who was ejected escorted off the floor.
Okay.
So that was not the case.
Gotcha.
So it would have been two shots and the ball.
But if had it been the kid who was ejected, it would have been four shots.
Would have been four free
throws.
Oh
man.
Yeah. And then that's a whole different conversation at that point. If that would have been the case, but that was not the case. The best that I could understand it. So, could Southeast have made two free throws and made a desperation three or made a two and force overtime? Sure.
How much time is left on the clock?
1.9. They would have got the ball at midcourt. That's the game changer.
It's enough to catch and shoot.
It's, it's, It could have happened. Not likely.
Yeah.
But again, I go back. They had the ball and turned it over twice.
Right.
In the final six. That is what cost Southeast the game. It's easy to blame the officials. It's always easier to blame the officials than anything else. You know, it makes you feel better. Well, the officials cost us the game. No.
Yeah.
They did not cost you the game. Right. I've only seen, David, one time in my life where I can say officials cost a team a game.
Riverton Southwestern girls?
Yes. That cost Southwestern the game. They were up one and lost when the refs counted a bucket that was well after the horn. That is a case of officials costing a team a game. Other than that, bad calls happen.
Yeah.
That's part of sports. It's the human element to sports. That's going to happen from time to time. But when you're winning and a bucket goes in after the buzzer and you lose, then you could say,
I'm gonna play devil's advocate and throw your logic back in your face. Are you ready?
Yes.
How many free throws did Southwestern miss?
How many
turnovers did they have?
It's a fair point.
Right.
And you're exactly right. And my counter to that would be that they had no time to make it up.
I get you.
But you're right.
I understand.
You're right. You're exactly right.
It's just the way I was raised. You know, my dad always taught me it's never the official's fault for losing a game.
And I agree with you 100%. But that's the closest situation. It's the only time where I can say this did cost of the game. But your point is sound, because I did the game, but I don't remember because it's been a lot of years. But I guarantee you they missed a foul shot.
Probably,
I guarantee you they had a turnover.
Right.
So, you're exactly right. And
it's something nobody ever likes to hear.
No. No, because it's easier to say the official cost us the game.
Yeah.
Because no one's ever played a perfect game. No one's played a perfect game. No one's officiated a perfect game.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. I mean, you get to the big league level. I mean, the brackets come out on Sunday. March Madness will start on Thursday. There will be calls that are atrocious. And these are big-time officials.
Oh, yeah.
It happens. It happens. They're human. Teddy Valentine will be on a game. He will do a terrible job. He'll get his TV time. But the game will go on.
Yeah. I feel like what I've heard the last 2 years is that the officiating in the NCAA tournament has been terrible.
But
I don't have anything to judge that on, because I haven't watched the regular season
as
much
lately. And, you know, with the free – it's all about what are the rules.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people watching the game, believe it or not, David, don't know the rules.
Right.
You know, and the way – the officials, despite what people may believe, know the rules.
Yeah.
The six players on the court notwithstanding.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you are instructed for the freedom of movement is what they call it now, like, the rules have made it a ticky-tack game. So if the rule requires you to call soft fouls, as an official, you have to call them.
Yeah, I can't stand it. See, that was one of my big issues last year. I started watching the regular season. I was watching some of the Illini games. They're just getting called for they're racking up a ton of fouls early in the season. And it's these calls that are just, you can't even breathe on the guy.
Yeah, if you put two hands on him, it's automatic foul.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's a rules issue, not an officiating issue.
You're not going to be allowed to play defense the way we're headed.
Right. Well, that, you know, we're seeing that in the NBA this year.
Right.
206 to 202. Defensive battle.
Disgusting.
But that's you know, it's just like in football. Offense sells. They want offense up, and the way to get offense up is to make sure that the offensive players are able to get to a spot and knock down a shot. So East St. Louis will play for the championship today against Chicago Bogan. That's a public league school against East St. Louis. And then last night, Belleville West hammered Chicago Curry, who was the top-ranked team in the state after Belleville West was ranked number one most of the year. Curry had not lost to an Illinois team all year, and Belleville West just spanked them down. I mean, it was a no contest. You could tell a couple minutes into the game, Belleville West is just better than this Chicago Curry team, and they ended up winning 70-48, and Belleville West a chance to go back-to-back in 4A, and that would be an awesome accomplishment. And we'll see if the Southwestern Conference can wind up with two state champions on the year. That would be an awesome accomplishment. You know, we talked throughout the year about the South Central Girls Conference, how good it was with the 6-20-win teams. Well, you talk about the Southwestern Conference for the boys, Belleville West, East St. Louis, Alton, Collinsville, all legitimately statewide good this year in the 2018-2019 season. So The high school season officially ends today, which means we will then get into All-Star basketball, and the 17th annual Carletonville Rotary Classic will come up a week from Sunday, March the 24th, at Carletonville High School. The girls' game will tip at 4:30. The boys' game will follow at 7 o'clock. And Drew Logan joining us on the phone right now. Drew will be coaching the East All-Stars for the boys. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Well, we're going to talk about this All-Star game first, then we'll get into the Litchfield season. But it's always, I would imagine, a nice honor to be selected to coach an All-Star game.
Yeah, it's the second time I've had the opportunity to coach in this All-Star game. I got an opportunity to coach in the Prairie State All-Star game years ago at Auburn. So it's definitely a neat experience. It's more about managing the kids and making sure you get the right mix of kids out there and try to put out the combination of kids that everybody wants to see together.
You'll have a practice of some sort, I would imagine.
Yeah, we're actually practicing tomorrow afternoon. It's more of a let the kids get to know each other a little bit. It's not a, I don't treat it as a strategy thing. I kind of let the kids do what they want to do. And then it's just a matter of trying to, again, get the mix of kids out there that people want to see and find the good combination.
And, being at Litchfield, you saw a good number of the kids that you'll be coaching. So that helps you from the perspective, you kind of know the group that you're working with.
Yeah, we've got the Mount kid from North Mac, obviously, is good, and got three kids from Hillsboro, and I just sent a text out to him last night, actually telling him about practice. So it'll be interesting to see. I always enjoy it. It's like I said, it's trying to make sure the kids get out there and get as much time to have a good time, because that's what all-star games are about, having a good time.
I think last year the final score was like 196, so a defense will not be at a premium.
Oh, yeah, there's no defense. I mean, and the last time I coached it, and I can't remember who the kids were from Nakoma, so I said, all right, we're going to play man. Everybody else, yeah, they're like, and then I was like, I know you've had to practice this at some point to go against other teams. So, and it was kind of a running joke the whole time, and one of them came off floor and said, I keep running to my spot from the 1-2-2. I'm like, well, you can't break that habit. So it's a good time. I always enjoy it. It'll be fun to do.
And I don't know the answer to this. You might. The 3-point contest, can any of the kids who want to participate in that participate, or will you have to have some sort of shootout and practice to determine which kids from your squad will go to that?
No, as far as I know, it is if they are willing and wanting to do it. Same with the dunk contest. If you're wanting to do it, you can participate. So, I don't know if there's any criteria, but if they select them, but I think if anybody that wants to do it, they're able to do it.
And I would imagine Sam Painter will be in the dunk contest?
He is. He asked me when he got the sheet, he's like, do you think I should do this? And I go, well, we tried to get you a dunk all year and never got it. So this is your opportunity.
And, Drew, he had such, Sam Payne, we're talking about, such a phenomenal year. I mean, his growth from last year to this year, he was like a totally different basketball player.
Yeah, and it was, I don't think it really was a physical thing. I mean, obviously he improved his game in a lot of areas, but I think it was a mindset thing with him, too. He, he really flipped the switch mentally as far as being, going into the year, he knew, I mean, everybody's going to be keying on him. It's going to be frustrating. And I even told him early in the year, I said, you didn't think this was going to be easy, right? Like, you knew you were going to get everybody's best defensive scheme every single night. And he really, like I said, that was, from a coach's standpoint, that was the biggest growth I saw. Obviously, everybody knows the physical aspect but the mental aspect, I think. And I think, I give Coach Newkirk, he ran track last year. And Coach Newkirk is a mental guy. Like, he's somebody that really, coaching golf and even wrestling. I mean, so he's got that, and I know that definitely is something that helped pave the way for this year.
And it's amazing how much the mental approach, no matter what sports you're playing, if you don't have the right mental mindset, it doesn't matter how much physical talent you have, it's not going to work.
No, and we talk about it with our players a lot when you see them getting frustrated with a guy that's maybe talking to him or bumping him or whatever. I'm like, if you show any sign that it's bothering you, you think it's going to get better? I mean, it's going to get worse. I mean, you have to be able to handle that. And like I said, I think that was the biggest growth, obviously, from a skill set standpoint. I mean, he really, really, I guess, had more of an overall game. I mean, he was able to finish off the dribble. He's able to finish the contact, able to hit the outside shot. You know, his shooting percentages were all right. He was in most categories as far as rebounding, steals, blocks, all that. So,
and we talked several different times during the year, and the season that you guys had was so needed just for kind of the spirit of the school and the community after what happened in the fall with the football, for the basketball yep. team to be able to rise up, win 20 games, have the type of success that you had. I mean, I'm sure you felt it throughout the year, the sense of pride that you were giving the community.
Yeah, and we've had, you know, I've been involved with the youth program for a couple of years, and we've started to have more people with the youth program get really involved in coming to our games. And, you know, and it gave, you know, I told them after, I want to say it was the Staunton game at home, our first home game, I said, you got to give them a reason to come back. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to play and give them a reason to come back. And then once you get them to come back, you do that a couple times, and they're going to be there with you for the long haul. And I felt like, you know, we kind of, you know, I won't say played with a chip on our shoulder this year, but I told them there's a lot of people that were asking questions just in general, what's going on in Litchfield? Like, I heard that question all the time. And I told them, I said, let's beat them, and then we can answer that question. I said, it was something, it was needed, you know, and hopefully it will help build things. You know, we've had some success in a lot of other sports that's helped spear things along in basketball and in baseball. So I'm hoping that maybe we did our part this year to kind of build that momentum.
And, you know, obviously Sam's a senior, so he won't be back next year. But, man,
right.
Brady Bishop really emerged this year.
Yeah, he had a great year. Actually, at our awards banquet, he, you know, was voted the most improved player on our team by his teammates. And I said, I can't think of anybody more deserving. I mean, and we had a lot of guys that improved individually. But he, you know, he went from being a guy that, I mean, you know, when I go back from my notes the year before, he didn't let her. He hardly played on varsity at all, played a lot of JV minutes. And I, you know, I told him at the banquet, I said, you know, did I think I would be saying the things that I'm saying right now? I said, you know, I hoped I had, but at the same time, I didn't know that we would have that growth. And, man, he really – and he's already talking about next year. He's putting the time in already trying to get ready for next year because he kind of knows that the X is going to be on his back next year.
Well, that was something I heard about him this year was the type of work he put in last summer. I guess he was going with Painter to a lot of the different
yep.
summer things that Sam was going to, and it obviously benefited him in a major way.
Yeah, they were playing in a fall league up north every Sunday that was involved with the Illinois Irish program and really, really helped that. And I know he's going to a couple showcases and does a lot of individual work with different people. And so it's really paying off. And like I said, it'll be, you know, we're going to have some other guys that really step up to kind of ease the pressure he's going to feel. But I think we've got some guys that'll be able to do that.
Drew, thanks so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. Have yep. fun next week at the holiday tournament, the All-Star hey. Basketball Classic. There's no type yep. of coaching yep. games, is there, or where you got to do anything physical?
No, I mean, I'm going to just kind of hang out and enjoy myself, and my coaching staff will be there. And actually, Coach Chris Bauer, our seventh grade coach, is going to be on the bench with us since this is his last year coaching. He's gonna step down, and so I thought it was only fitting to have him there with us.
Well, I'll let you go after this, but that just made me think of the Litchfield yep. seventh graders. Of course, had a phenomenal year in their own right. They end up going to state. They bring yep. home a state trophy. And as the varsity coach, Drew, how do you make sure? Because we know that junior high success does not automatically yep. translate to the high school level, but there are talented kids down there. So from
right.
you know, what do you tell those kids that they need to think about as they get ready to transition into high school in a couple of years?
I mean, it's always be hungry. That's one of the things that we always tell the kids. You never rest on what you've done. And the hope is, the good thing for me, I teach in the middle school, so I see those kids. Mm-hmm. And I helped coach them as sixth graders. Me and Anthony Robinson coached them as sixth graders, so we already have that relationship. And my hope is that we just make them hungry. I mean, you know, and I told my son this whenever he played baseball for Harrisburg in the – and they won a state championship in middle school. I said, don't let this be your only trophy.
Right.
You know, don't rest on that. And the hope is that they will continue to strive. And I mean, it's a hard working group of kids. And the hope is that they maintain that throughout their career. And I think they'll have a lot of success.
Sounds good. Drew Logan, thanks for a few
yep.
minutes of your time, sir.
All right, thank you.
All right, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers and the head coach of the East All-Stars for the 17th annual Carletonville Rotary All-Star Basketball Classic, which comes up March the 24th. That is a week from tomorrow. It'll be held at Carletonville High School. The girls' game's at 4:30. The East leads that all-time series 10-5. There'll be a three-point shootout for the girls at 4. The boys' three-point contest will be after the girls' game. Boys' game scheduled for about a 7 o'clock tip. The West leads that all-time series 12-4. Then the dunk contest will come at halftime of the boys' game. They'll play 4 10-minute quarters, in case you're interested. $6 gets you in the door. Kids under the age of 6 are free. All the proceeds will go to the Carletonville Rotary Club for their projects throughout the year. You heard Drew mention the roster for the East: Sam Painter of Litchfield, Trevor Wright and Isaiah Bruder of Nokomis, Jordan Gregg, Keaton Pruitt, and Landon Carroll of Hillsboro, North Max, Sam Mount, Mount Olive's Quentin Kozowski, Lincoln Woods, Dade Pitchford, Chad Stearns and Brock Nelson of Greenville, Blake Morrison and Blake Barth of Vandalia, and Jack Armstrong and Jared Byers from Pena. The West All-Stars, they will be coached by Matt Getton of Carrollton. They will have Jared Easterday and Will Walton of Carletonville, Lucas Severs and Dylan Heeman of Staunton, Bunker Hill's Jacob Widener, E.J. Call and Ryan Hanslow from Southwestern, Dominic Taylor of Gillespie, Gabe Jones and Nathan Walker of Carrollton, Kurt Hall from Jersey, Dylan Pullman of Greenfield Northwestern, Justin Lawson and Carter Hoseman of North Green, and Eddie Laura of Roxana. Now, the girls' roster, this is interesting, as the Hillsboro and Greenville girls are on the same team. They're all on the East All-Star team, which will be coached by Comet head coach Kyle Dothager. So you got Sammy Matouche, Aubrey Rupert, Kylie Meyer, and Jade Scroggins for the Toppers, Nancy Fritschke, Allie Cantrell, and Madison Gertis for Greenville. That's a team right there. That will do just fine. They also have Emily Cesaretti and Georgia Crow of Nokomis, Shania Schoonover and Maddie Ashcroft of Pena, Katie Tanner of Auburn, and then Avery Kern and Paige Langheim of Pawnee. So what an East All-Star team that is. The West squad will have their hands full. Head coach will be Kyle McBrain of Staunton. They will counter with Rachel Olroyd and Peyton Tiemann of Carletonville. Then Savannah Brune, Abby Scanzoni, and Rebecca Calderero from the Staunton Mount Olive Co-op. Gillespie's Riley Jarman. From Southwestern, Molly Novak and Bailey Weibel. Hannah Crumlady, Marley Malink, and Grace Cox of Carrollton. Madeline Gilmore and Madison McClinning of North Green. And Caitlin Breaker of South County. Those are your girls all-stars for the Carletonville Rotary All-Star Classic. But you could almost have a game, David, just have Hillsboro and Greenville play again.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Forget the All-Star game.
Forget the All-Star game. But we won't do that.
Yeah.
But they will be on the same team, Hillsboro and Greenville. So
that'll be interesting.
That will be interesting. They have a little bit of a rivalry working.
Yeah.
But they'll all be teammates that day.
Let's be civil.
Oh, they will be. They will be. But, man, what an atmosphere that was. That's one of the great atmospheres I've had the privilege of seeing in my time at WSMI, was that Hillsboro sectional both nights. But that championship night with Hillsboro and Greenville, I'm usually one of the first people at the gym. There was already a line of people lined up when I got there. Because, you know, I get there early, obviously. But wasn't the first one there that day. Wait. they actually had to have the doors locked to keep the people out.
See, that's kind of how it was when I went to Neoga for the Nokomis Neoga regional championship game. I got there early, like an hour and a half early. I thought I was going to be... I wondered if I was going to be able to get in.
Right.
And, yeah, there wasn't really a seat left. So.
It makes for such a great atmosphere.
Oh, absolutely.
When you have that type of stuff. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. Back in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. So we were just talking about the Carletonville Rotary All-Star Game, which involves area players, which is a great event. This is intriguing to me. The River War, Illinois versus Missouri. The best players from both states.
Really?
All-Star game, March 30th at SLU High at their fieldhouse.
I think Illinois is going to win that.
You would sure think. I mean, there's some good ballers in Missouri, but Illinois is one of the best, if not the best, high school basketball state in the entire country. So you're going to have Terrion Murdix from Southeast, obviously E.J. Liddell of Belleville West, Devon Clay of Alton, Terrence Hargrove and Richard Robinson from East St. Louis, and then you got a number of players
really
from the Chicago area.
Yeah, there are some really good prospects from St. Louis, I should say. I don't want to forget that, because St. Louis basketball over the last decade or whatever.
Oh, you can go back longer than that.
Yes,
it's the St. Louis basketball scene is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. It's not the Chicago scene. But it's pretty darn good. It's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
But that will be a lot of fun. That'll be March 30th, the River War. Illinois versus Missouri.
Is it SLU?
SLU High.
SLU High, okay.
Anytime you can get Illinois versus Missouri in anything, I don't care if it's Tiddlywinks.
Okay.
I'm intrigued by it.
No, it's a great idea. Obviously, this is the first time they're having it.
No, I think it's like the third, but I don't know. I don't think they had it last year. I don't know, but I think it's about the third annual. For it. Or not, it can't be third annual, third one.
I would expect Illinois to win just because the depth of the state of Illinois in basketball.
Yes. Because the kid for Curry, can't remember his name, losing me right now, he's going to Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously got Liddell that's going to Ohio State. Those are the two premier ones, but then you've got just a litany of Division I players from the state of Illinois that will be involved in that game. The River War.
Mm.
And, you know, it was so fun last night to watch Belleville West just smack.
They're good.
Chicago Public League down. I mean, they beat them. Curry looked terrible. And they played probably the worst game they played all year. Couldn't make a shot. But a lot of that had to do with Belleville West. Belleville West is, I mean, they are so good. And they played a national schedule this year. Their coach has been quoted as saying, we play the toughest schedule in the state. I mean, they played Simeon in the regular year. They went to a couple different invitationals out of state, got involved there. And if E.J. Liddell hadn't hurt, he hurt his foot. They beat Simeon. He hurt his foot. And then he missed the next game, 2-point loss. I think that was to Collinsville. Came back a few days later, played against East St. Louis, but he wasn't 100%. They lost by one. So that's two of their four losses, basically, when the best player in the state wasn't either there or wasn't at 100%. So, I mean, they lost two games last year, won the whole thing. When they won it last year, they were the first non-Chicago land school to win the 4A state
title. Helps to have the best player on your team.
Always helpful.
Yes.
Always helpful. It reminded me, I was thinking about it with East St. Louis being at the state tournament for the first time since 2000 when Darius Miles went up there and used to go to the state tournament every single year. The first one was when Staunton won in 93, then went every year all the way through college, but I'll always remember this as the greatest example of why you don't taunt the best player on the floor. Darius Miles, everybody knew, that was back in the before the one and done where you could go straight to the NBA out of high school. Everybody knew he was going to the league, and he was going to be a top five pick. I think he went up getting picked third. I mean, he was the best player in the state, one of the best players in the country, and it wasn't even close. He was phenomenal in high school. And I think it was the quarterfinal game. Might have been the semifinal game. Don't remember which game it was. But he airballed the free throw.
Hmm.
And the student section for the team they were playing decided not to chain airball, David, chain airball, that's fine. They went with overrated.
Oh, no. That's a mistake.
Bad idea. And I remember turning to my dad and saying, that is not a good idea.
Oh, no.
Literally, the next time down the floor, so that he airballs the free throw, they chant overrated. In the next 15 seconds, he got as big of a block as you can get, kept it in play, took it himself, length of the floor, slam dunk, backpedal, index finger over his mouth to shush the crowd. He's like, you don't taunt the best player on the floor.
No.
He airballed the free throw. Be happy with that.
Yeah.
But don't break out the overrated chant. He's going to be the number three pick in the NBA draft in about 2 months.
Good grief.
Don't do that.
Yeah,
don't
that's a no-no.
It was a no-no. But it was such an amazing turn of events because it happened so fast, and he heard it. There's no doubt. Overrated. I'll show you overrated.
No kidding. And, well, some guys don't have that mindset. Like, they're extremely talented, and fans chanting that, it would get in their head, and they wouldn't be able to flip a switch, but obviously he's not one of those guys.
No. The best, the truly elite players, they flip that switch when they get challenged like that, especially from fans. Go eat your hot dog.
Yeah.
I want to be in the NBA. You're going to be eating the hot dog.
They could have just chanted airball.
That's fine.
Yes,
because that would have been true.
Right.
It was an airball.
Yeah. You can't airball a free throw.
That's bad.
That's bad.
But overrated is not true.
No.
Not true.
Yeah. That's a blunder.
That's a blunder. Yeah. I'll always remember that, though, as just the greatest and best example of don't taunt the best player on the floor.
Right.
Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Because when you got the best player on the floor, you've always got a chance. And that's what Belleville West has had the last 2 years, maybe even 3 years. I remember would have been his sophomore year.
They beat East St. Louis in the regional, I think, his sophomore year. Because that was when East St. Louis had Tillman, and they're a really good team. I don't think they got out of the regional because they lost to Belleville West.
That leads, I think you're right, and that leads to where I was going. I remember going down to the sectional that year at Collinsville. When that's the year Edwardsville was undefeated.
Yeah.
When they had Mark Smith, and they had A.J. Espinosa, who went to play football at Iowa. And Edwardsville played Belleville West in the sectional. And Belleville West had Edwardsville on the ropes in that game. It took all Edwardsville could do to get past him. But I had never heard of E.J. Liddell up to that point. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching that game, and like, who is that? Who's number 32 for West? Who is that guy that looks in the program? Sophomore? Yeah. Holy crap. He was the best player on the floor that night. And that is when Mark Smith was Mr. Basketball.
Yeah. Not a lot of people had heard of E.J. Liddell at that point. I'd say from across the state and nationally, he was becoming a star at that point.
Boy, and he is a bona fide star now. They said last night he now has 499 career blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, 500 blocks for his career. He's great.
He's good.
my gosh, and he gets off the floor so fast. It's going to be really neat to watch what he does at the next level when he gets to Ohio State next season. But see, they beat Whitney Young in the final last year, hammered Curry last night, and you know, that's always the great debate. You know, the Chicago Public League, a lot, you know, the people up north, they certainly feel that no one's, you know, down here in the boonies can possibly compete with us. We got all the best players. No,
they've changed their tune about Belleville West.
Belleville West has punked them multiple times. You know, they beat Simeon in the regular year. You know, they've gone toe to toe and come out standing against the public league here over the last couple of years, and it's just really fun to see. And it might work out because Chicago, Providence, St. Mel won 1A, Chicago Orr won 2A, Chicago Bogan is playing East St. Louis today for 3A, so potentially Chicago could win. Three.
Good.
But not the biggest class.
Yeah.
Now, Evanston isn't Chicago, but I mean,
how much of a game do you think it's going to be, the 4A game?
I tell you what, if Evanston shoots like they did last, they made 12 threes last night. They got a little kid, like 6'1", a sophomore. He was 7 of 8 from 3 last night.
Yeah.
You know, so if they shoot the 3 ball, I mean, it has the potential to be a really good game.
That can disappear really quickly.
It can. And for Belleville West, they're so long. Yeah. That's the thing. You know, they bothered Curry last night. With, you know, in a lot of different ways. And so how Evanston reacts to the length, that will be probably a big part. These two teams almost met in Centralia. A lot of people thought that would be the Holiday Tournament championship over at Centralia, but Alton beat Evanston to get into that championship game.
Yeah.
So we get it for the state title instead. I mean, I'm picking Belleville West. I don't know how.
They're the defending champs, and basically everybody returned, and they're better this year than they were last year.
Yes, because Keith Randolph Jr., who's going to be at Illinois for football, that dude is a monster. 6'5", 250. And between him and Liddell last night, I mean, they made Curry look out of place. Like, they didn't look
timid.
Yeah, they didn't look like they belonged on the same floor. Yeah. And this is a team that was 34-1. They also had played a national schedule. You know, their only loss was to a team from California, but they were outmatched in a hurry last night against Belleville West.
It's something when a one-loss team from the public league gets blown out.
And it's not that they lost. They got hammered.
Yeah.
Hammered. I mean, the whole set, there was no point really from about the middle of the second quarter on where you thought, Curry's going to win this game.
Again, I don't think that's an indictment on Curry at all.
No.
That completely speaks to Belleville West's skill level.
That's exactly right. Belleville West is just that good. And then we'll see if East St. Louis can bring it home today against Chicago Bogan. I mean, that should be a heck of a ball game. That will be a fun game for the 3A title. That'll be about 1 o'clock this afternoon. And then, of course, the 4A championship at 7:30. And then high school basketball is done for the year.
Yeah, about that.
And then we'll need the weather to cooperate so we can start playing some baseball and softball.
We won't have that on the air till April.
Yeah.
Probably.
Not probably yet.
Yeah. April 5th, usually around that time, that's the first First game we did.
Yeah. When you see photographs with the managers wearing stocking caps, that's never good.
I don't want to go out there.
Are you kidding me?
The players aren't going to play out there. I'm not going to go
there?
Out there.
Are you crazy? Hey, thanks to Drew Logan for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. We'll have Cardinal baseball coming up 11:45 this morning, AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Opening day, March the 28th at Milwaukee. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.